Hello, and welcome to ASD Radio, the official podcast of the Alamosa School District. I'm your host, Superintendent Dr. Diana Jones, and I'm thrilled to be your guide to the people, programs, and progress shaping our schools. Today, as always, we're joined by Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murillo.
Dr. Jones, can you believe we are a month into our 2025-2026 school year?
Oh, I just wrote down on the Moose Tracks and getting ready for Moose Message. We're halfway through the first quarter. It's gone by so quickly.
Time flies. Today, I'm excited about our guest. As schools or as community schools, we are tasked with doing so much more than just teaching kids how to read and write and do math and science. We are tasked with being active contributors to a thriving community.
Yes, and our guest today, we see her at many, many activities that we go to and community meetings, and so I'm glad that the community gets to hear from her today.
And I'm excited about our special guest because one of the things we face as a community, and this is not unique to us, is access to substances. So we're going to learn more about what Alamosa is doing to partner to address this important issue.
Looking forward to it. So let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. What can you share with us about what is happening around our campuses?
What I want to share is the results from the CMAS test, the Colorado Measures of Academic Success. In previous episodes, we've talked about CMAS and the purpose of CMAS. If people haven't listened to that episode, which I'm assuming they haven't, maybe they have, just a quick breakdown is it's an assessment that is administered to all students every year in the month of April, and it measures academic achievement when it comes to reading, when it comes to math, and then for certain grades for science. And we get the results, we dissect the results, and then we get to work. But I want to share those results because we got them.
That would be great.
All right. So as a system for school year 24-25, and these are grades 3rd through 8th, and English language arts, 33.6% of our students met or exceeded expectation. And in math, we as a system scored at 20.2%. Now, at first glance, that percentage is low. That's true. We got a lot of work to do. But what I want to do is I want to give some more insight into the trajectory that our district has been on.
I think that's important. So thank you for doing that.
One thing to note is in ELA, the state's average is 44.8. And in math, we are at 35.9. So we as a district have more work to do. And as a state, we also have more work to do. And some people would argue that as a nation, we have more work to do. Now, what I do want to share is the trajectory that we've been on. So remember 33.6% and 20.2. And last school year in ELA, we were at 33.3. So we were able to grow a little bit. And as we've heard, forward is a pace.
Yes.
And then in math, we were at 19.7. So we were able to grow from one year to the other. Now, what I do want to say is 2 years ago, so this would have been school year 23-24, in ELA, we were at 31.8. And in math, we were at 18.4. And then to take it a year back, school year 2022, in ELA, we were at 28.2. And in math, we were at 15.5. So although, I mean, no one is going to argue that we have work to do. In the last 4 years, we've been on a positive trend, on a positive trajectory to get our kids closer to not just the state average, but to really give them the tools so that they can be, you know, whatever it is that they choose to be.
We've talked about creating the conditions for our staff and our students to be successful, and providing time for our staff to really dive in, look at the data, and see where our individual students, where those needs are. And so it's exciting to me that the work we're working on is making an impact slowly, a little more slowly than we would hope. But I want everyone to understand that to make just incremental growth is really what we want, to continue so that we can sustain that growth over time.
Well, if I may, to provide even more context,
please.
I did do some comparison with other districts from the Valley, as well as other similar districts as per demographics. So again, in our heads, we got to remember the number 33.6% in ELA and 20.2% in math. I looked at the next closest district in size, which is Monee. And in ELA for school year 2025, they scored 30.2% at or above grade level in English and 17% in math. I also looked at Center, because they're also very similar to us in demographics. And, you know, when we get to size, they have about 700 students. In math, Center scored at 27.6 and 12.4 in math. I also looked at Centauri because, again, they're close to us in the Valley. And Centauri is doing a good job. Centauri scored 50.1% in ELA and 38.5 in math. I also took a look at Upper Rio Grande, which is Del Norte. They're at 31.8 in ELA and 22% in math. And then I also took a look at Sargent. They're at 35.3 in ELA and 20.4 in math. So the takeaway is, you know, we are competitive, but I think that the bottom line is we all have to improve as a district. And I'm glad to just talk about some of the collaboration that's been happening. We talked about the SOV Educators Conference. But when it comes to our trajectory and what we've been able to do, we are trending upward. Now, I know you have a reaction, but if I may real quick, I also did some comparison with similar districts as per demographics. And what I mean by that is I look at districts that have a similar percentage of students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. Because, I mean, let's face it, students who qualify for free and reduced lunch come with some struggles. And, you know, I'd like to compare to those districts that have a similar demographic. We're still learning. We're still moving in the right direction. But when it comes to creating some context, I think it's important to look at those districts as well.
I agree.
So I looked at Harrison too, which is in Springs, very similar to us, larger. But as far as demographics, we're about the same. They scored at 36.1 in ELA and 24% in math. Adams 14, which is in Commerce City, they scored at 12.9 in ELA and 8.5 in mathematics. I looked at Rocky Ford, the Mountaineers, and they are 32% in ELA and 24% in math. I also took a look at Pueblo 60. They're at a 26.2 in ELA and 17.5 in math. And then, you know, I'll just say two more. I looked at Brush, which is up north in ELA. They're at 23.1 and 17.3 in math. And then the last one is East Otero, which is Lahana. They are 18.3 in ELA and 8.1 in math. So I guess my takeaways when I look at those scores is, you know, we have to celebrate the hard work that our teachers are doing every single day, that our system is doing. I mean, from the teachers to everyone involved in our system, to our community members, to our parents. But also keep in mind that we still got a long ways to go.
Right. And we don't want to forget to celebrate our students, because they're the ones, even though that is a one day, one test, we still take that data seriously and work towards, again, that incremental progress every year. So Dr. Maria, the accountability system and how we're scored is difficult for educators to understand, not to mention parents and community members. What aspect of the accountability system would you like for our community to know or that is important for them to understand?
Next episode, we're going to talk about the actual performance frameworks. What we discussed today is a component of the performance framework. In the past, we've talked about the frameworks and we talked about colors. We talked about green, yellow, orange, red. What's important to note is that the performance framework is broken down into growth as well as academic achievement. And growth is weighted 60% of the total score. Academic achievement is composed 40%. So really, if you take a step back and you look at the system, the state of Colorado rewards growth. And honestly, I could see why. We as a state, we have a lot of work to do. So there is a what could feel like a high reward for growth as opposed to, you know, academic achievement and getting students to grade level. But next podcast, I'm going to be sharing specifically how we did on the actual performance frameworks, which could be seen as a report card for schools in the district.
So again, if you think back to those scores you gave us, we made some growth and just incrementally, but we will continue this conversation
at a later date. We're on the right trajectory. And, you know, as we heard, we want to continue to move in the right direction. So we are
proud of our students and teachers and appreciate our parents and our community helping us pour into our students and help them learn and grow. Let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate.
All right, we have our special guest. She is a mother. I learned of four. Well, I think I already knew that. but I what I learned is that she has two in her system currently. She has the title of prevention specialist. She works for the Boys and Girls Club, has for the last 2 years. I know she's held a lot of jobs. But most recently, this is what she's doing. I have the pleasure of introducing Nancy Molina.
Thank you.
Welcome, Nancy. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, sure. So I was raised in New Mexico, graduated from a small school, Portales High School, and I attended Adams State University and majored in history, government, social studies, to teach secondary education. I'll be married 27 years in November.
Congratulations.
That's a special month. I have four beautiful daughters. I know I'm a little biased being their mother.
That's all right.
And as Dr. Murillo said, I work at the Boys and Girls Clubs of the San Luis Valley as a drug-free communities director.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. So now as a leader of the Drug-Free Communities Director, I also know that you lead something called the SLV Teen Prevention Coalition. Can you tell us about its purpose?
Absolutely. So the primary purpose is to reduce youth substance use in the San Luis Valley. We do this by elevating youth voice and partnering with them as equal partners. We also practice authentic youth engagement.
That sounds like a really heavy lift, but how such an important project. How many students are part of the coalition?
So currently we have 12 students from across the valley. 10 are funded by DFC or Drug Free Communities Grant, and 2 are funded by the state Tobacco Prevention and Partnership, a program or grant at the Alamosa County Public Health, which has turned out to be such an amazing collaboration. Mm-hmm.
Tell us how students participate.
So basically it's an internship program where they complete 75 hours for a educational stipend of $750. And the youth who are interested in participating in the internship, they go through an application and interview process to become part of the coalition. If selected, the youth will participate in an orientation process with an assigned staff member. And we go over expectations, what they can, you know, what they can expect at meetings, at coalition meetings, at partner meetings, and so forth. And like I said, youth participate in monthly coalition meetings with adults. And the youth also let us know that they want their own meetings, and we definitely listened. So we have two monthly meetings where we work on prevention strategies.
It's wonderful. So the $750 is really almost like paying them to participate, but almost like a job. Like, this is your job, and we want to hear your voice. And that voice has been elevated through the coalition. What a fantastic opportunity for these students.
Nancy, every other year we participate in the Healthy Kids Colorado Survey. And one of the things that popped out to me is that our students are reporting less use, but they're reporting easier access. What are you seeing across the valley, and especially what are kids saying?
Yeah, we definitely take a very close look at that data, the Healthy Kids Colorado Survey. And what we are seeing and hearing from youth and multiple sources is that there's a lot of vaping going on, both tobacco and marijuana vaping. And youth are telling us, we also have our own survey, but youth are telling us that the majority are doing these things, or the, you know, engaging in these substances because of mental health problems. So they are basically using it as a Band-Aid to cover a deeper wound.
Well, it's so important that the coalition is listening to our students. We know when we truly sit down and ask questions and are willing to listen, we learn so much, and that impact can carry forward in so many ways. So what are some of the biggest challenges that the youth are telling you that they're facing?
Dr. Murillo alluded to, I've had a lot of jobs, and most of my jobs have been in the community, working closely with youth. Since I've been working in these type of jobs for over 20 years, and basically it's been the same thing: boredom, lack of mentors, lack of support, and, you know, poverty as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to be seen and heard.
They do. I got a chance to see some pretty cool videos that students from the coalition created, just sort of telling who they are, what school they attend, and speaking to the youth to get more involved. I saw that as a great initiative, great success story, but tell us another success story about this group.
Absolutely. Something we are very proud of as a team is a project that we did that involved youth of so many different ages, okay? So we needed a symbol to help identify the SLV Teen Prevention Coalition so that the community can recognize who we are. Obviously, we're under the umbrella of the Boys and Girls Club, so they have a logo, but we decided to have a contest and have club members design a graphic identity for us. It was a huge success for everyone involved. Prevention interns helped present to younger youth. So they went over, like, what is, a symbol, and why do companies or businesses or organizations want or need symbols? They engaged with the youth, and the teen prevention interns actually voted on the winner, and the winner received $40 in gift cards.
Nice.
So nice.
Now, I know you're wearing the shirt.
Yes.
With the image that the winner created. I'd love to describe it for our audience.
Absolutely.
So Nancy's turning around, and I'm seeing a green heart that it says San Luis Valley Teen Prevention Coalition, and I see lots of colors. The way I'm seeing, I see the beautiful river. I see some colors that could represent our mountains, the sand dunes. But what's important, in the middle of the heart, there are two hands that come together and they make another heart sign. So I love the image that was created by students.
It's beautiful. The colors are beautiful, and then the symbol of making the heart is as well. We know that when students can relate to something and find significance in it, that just carries forward with their momentum. So I'm really excited that they were able to verbalize and then put that into a picture for the rest of us to look at, and that becomes who they are as a group and a coalition. And like you said, it's their symbol, it's their logo. So it really shows, I think, the impact and what the students have been able to do with the coalition members, and then as well on their own, as you said. They want to meet by themselves. I think that's awesome.
I agree. So Nancy, what should parents know about prevention and the work of this group?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Dr. Murillo, because I think that they should know that we are looking for a couple of parents to serve on the coalition. So the grant really wants us to implement best practices, and a best practice for a coalition is to have representatives from the 12 community sectors, and parents is one of the sectors. By the way, our strongest sector, I'm sure you can guess, are the youth, which we are very proud of. The other thing is, talking early and talking often to your child is the best way to prevent substance use in youth.
Thank you for sharing that. And we too in our district are trying to engage parents, and we know that that's such a critical part of this conversation. And we want to almost engage them, but also help them talk to their students.
Yes, absolutely.
How does this group work with schools across the valley?
So we partner with schools in a variety of ways. For example, at Alamosa High School, we were able to table to help recruit students. And this was when we first started, and we were just so grateful for the willingness to collaborate in that way. And we also attend the Alamosa Prevention Coalition along with our youth interns, and let everyone know what great work they're doing. And we attend school health fairs and do presentations. In those health fairs, we provide vital information about the effects of substance use, and just really try to engage with the youth as much as possible.
I'm just really struck by that this partnership with the schools plays such a significant role in health and safety for our students. And so thank you for ensuring that continued collaboration with us and being one of our community partners, investing, truly investing in our students and families.
$1 million question. If you had a magic wand that could change something about the educational system, what would that be?
So more funding for programs that support students and families in a holistic manner. And having been a teacher myself, a better pay for teachers and staff. I just really hope that we can move towards a society where all families and students are valued and all their needs are met.
Hope for the same thing.
100%. Ditto.
As always, it's a great day to be a Mean Moose. Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.